Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they absolutely got it right. And today I have my good friend and dear brother, Leonard Gilbert, here as a guest. Welcome, Leonard.
Oh, it feels good. First of all, let me thank you for bringing me here. This is going to be a highlight of my life. I'm a little bit nervous, but yeah. I think if once we get into this and we share a lot of things in common, I think you're right. We'll have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about, you know, today and just the opportunity to have you here and just share our common thoughts and you know, our common love for the Lord, first
yes,
off.
Yes, sir.
And just what that all means and how that comes together when we talk about governance, when we talk about the church, when we talk about good government and all of the things that are going on, you know, in our world today, but in our nation in particular.
Definitely.
So that's some of the stuff that is... You and I've talked about a whole lot. In fact, we were talking about a whole lot. We were talking about it a whole lot, you know, before we even got here. So, you know, hey, just relax, have some water as we get going, and we're gonna go good. So,
you
know, just so the folks know that when I first met this brother, I was doing something. I don't remember if it was a Sam Adams thing or was that a tea party, and
it was.
Yeah,
it was actually one of the Heritage Club meetings in Mentor, Ohio.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And you challenged me on a couple questions, you know, based on our founding and, you know, where did Sam Adams fit with this or where was that from a historical perspective? And and that's where we really made our first connection because, you know, both being of a reformed mentality.
Beautiful.
And understanding that generated because, you know, Sam Adams as a Puritan, that's exactly what it was. He was one of those core Puritans, you know, before we saw the congregational churches go Unitarian. Mm-hmm. He maintained that integrity of what that meant, and that's why he ended up with that moniker, the last Puritan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, why don't you just give us a little... Now, you weren't from Ohio originally, were you?
No, I'm originally from Atlanta, Georgia. And now I've been here in Ohio for at least 30 years now.
Wow.
And I live in Mentor, Ohio. And I've been there for, like I said, for almost 30 years. I've been in the same church for 30 years.
Wow. That's amazing.
I've been sitting in the same pew for 30 years.
Well, you pay your church tax, your tax.
I've been causing trouble in the same pew for 30 years. So I've been very consistent.
Yeah.
But when I came to know Christ, one thing I was so happy about, I never had my brain scattered with stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
I had been into a lot of churches, listened to all this nonsense, and I never embraced it.
Yeah.
Finally, when I did hear the gospel from one of my reformed brothers, all of a sudden, it just made sense.
Yeah. Okay.
And I didn't have all that baggage to come along with me.
Okay.
So when that happened, I was so thirsty, I couldn't get enough of the reading.
Yeah.
So I went from the milk stage immediately into the grown-up stage within a couple of years.
I hear you.
And I had to grow up fast.
I hear you.
But I'm glad it happened because now it helped me to be a critical thinker.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized that I cannot control my environment all the time, but I can control how I respond to it. Mm-hmm. Because I have the truth.
Yes.
I don't have to worry about anything. The answers are all there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to panic. Yep. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be insecure. So I can live a life of freedom the way God had intended it.
Yeah.
To be.
Now, one of the things that God, you know, brought you along in too is that you're an engineer.
And, yes, sir.
And you went to where? The University of
Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech.
Yes.
Georgia Tech.
Yes.
Wow. That's impressive.
Well, Georgia Tech. Trust me, I had to work very hard.
Yeah.
It wasn't, and like I told you, I was going to school with people that had perfect scores on the SAT, and I'm still trying to figure out how they did that. But one of the things that I came to realize was that this whole equal nonsense that we're equal, we're not. We're equal sinners, for sure.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But in mentality, we're different, and God created us differently. That doesn't mean I can't be successful. It just means that I have to recognize the playing field and how am I going to fit into that playing field.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, of course not. I mean, that's for everybody.
Yes.
You know, I think that's, you know, one of the travesties that is in our educational system, something that you and I have talked about, you know, kind of on the peripheral before, is that, and in families and homes, you know, because I looked at, even with my own kids, sometimes it was like, I necessarily didn't look at how God gifted them. You know, you get into that whole thing with parenting and all that, and it's like, get over there, you know, keep your hands to yourself, you know, and then you forget, no, God created them in certain ways that their gifts are different and they're different. And then it's trying to figure out, okay, they're going to be doing what God wants, hopefully in the world, if I do the, you know, some of the right things.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And when we start looking at that and then how they act and react in the world, you're going, boy, I wish I could go back and do that. That's always fun. Yeah. So you went to Georgia Tech. You got your degree in
mechanical engineering.
Cool. Right? And that's what brought you to Ohio?
Yes, I actually was working for Avery Dennison down in Georgia. And it was Fayetteville, Georgia, and I got a job transfer.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, I really...
No, did you accept Christ in college or before college?
It was after.
After college,
yes,
okay.
It was
actually, I know your grandma, you always tell me about your grandma.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I think they were Calvinists way before we even realized what it was. And when they told us we were natural born sinners, I couldn't quite figure that out. And when she asked me, how did I learn how to lie, cheat, and steal? And I said... That's a good question. She said, I didn't teach you this. She said, you know how to do it.
Yeah.
And she said, that's what I mean. She said, you're naturally bad. She said, so this idea that people are good, she said, no, you don't know what good is. I have to teach you what good is all about because you don't naturally know that.
There you go.
But you're naturally rebellious.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And that's hard to accept.
Right. Whole world, just look around us and we see the whole world, everything you hear out there nowadays is, oh, mankind's so good. You know, everything's good. Everything's good. And then you look around, you go, are you crazy?
Yeah. You missed the boat on that one. You missed the boat big time.
Yeah, yeah. So it was then after you got out of college, you know, grandma's always praying for you, trying to teach you those right things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, here you are, this technical guru now.
I'm a hard worker like everyone else.
I honor those guys who go to Georgia Tech, you know, for what just by the name, but I get you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But then somehow God put people in your life.
Yeah, this is very interesting. I was going to a predominantly black Baptist church.
Mm-hmm.
And again, at the time, I went to church because you're just supposed to go to church.
Yeah.
That's what we were supposed to do. So I met a brother that I work with, and he asked me, hey, I don't know how this conversation started. We're in the break room. And he said, where do you go to church? And I said, oh, that's interesting he asked me that. I said, well, I told him what church I went to, Live Oak Baptist. And then he said, well, what's the doctrine there? I said, say what?
What's that?
And then he says, I know what it is. I said, what is it? He said, it's don't drink, don't smoke. I said, yeah, that's it. He said, that's not a doctrine.
Yeah.
I said, man, what you talking about?
Right.
Then he said, would you be interested in coming to a Bible study?
Yeah.
And I said, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Well, keep in mind, in the South, I mean, there was still separation.
Yeah.
Not that it was legal, but people still had the idea of whites on one side, blacks on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So when he invited me to his home, I got the address and I looked at it and I said, Fayetteville. Now, because the Lord was driving me, I really didn't register.
I was
just going out to see someone. And,
yeah.
And then the other day, when I went to the Bible study, I was very quiet because I looked around and I said, ooh, I don't know anyone in this room.
Uh-huh.
I'm in a side of town that I shouldn't even be near.
Uh-huh.
I don't know these people. I just met this guy on the job. I said, what am I doing? Am I crazy?
Right.
And I said, I'm going to keep quiet. So I didn't say a word.
Yeah.
And I kept quiet the whole time. He said, you okay? I said, yes, sir. I immediately got out of that house and I went home and I was like, whoo, Lord, thank you for giving me all that. But the interesting thing is I couldn't lose my desire to go. I had to go back.
Go back, yeah.
And I didn't really understand everything.
Right.
But I said, now the technical guy in me said, I got to figure this out.
There you go.
I said, he's asking me these questions and I can't answer them and that's bothering me.
Right, right.
So then I kept going back. And the more I went back, the more confusion.
Ah.
I said, man, this is not going to be a good path to take. Eventually, I kept studying, kept asking questions. I know this guy was very persistent. He said, Leonard, out of all the people I've ever worked with, he said, you were the most persistent case I've ever had. Every time I said something, you were asking a question.
Yeah, good.
You would read it, then you'd come back and ask another question. You would read it. He said, yeah. I would go home and pray, say, Lord, please give me the wisdom.
But
I kept staying with it before I realized that someone I didn't know, my whole life was being transformed.
Right.
And that goes to show you, it's not about what I was doing. It was what God was doing in me.
Yeah.
And I didn't recognize that.
Yeah.
And eventually I came to realize, oh, wait a minute. He started talking about, you know, this whole idea of being a natural born sinner.
Mm.
He said, and I could talk to you till you're blue in the face, but it's God's grace that will illuminate you so you can see.
Yeah.
And he said, I pray for that every night.
Yeah.
He said, I'm just a vehicle. But right. He said, God's doing all the work. I can't do a thing for you.
That's it. I mean, that's it.
And God led me to understand his word. And since then, like I said, I just had a thirst for it. And even today, it grows. I have such a passion.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go and everything I do, it's involved in everything. My work, my social life, everything. I can't divorce it.
Of course not. No, I mean, that's the calling and the work of the Holy Spirit. So, and one of the things you just said, that when I look at the gospel, I say that it transcends everything. And so that's what it should do. So when we're looking at, you know, the whole life of Samuel Adams and how he brings us along, so that means that, what does that involve in our work? What does that involve in then in our church? What does it involve in our culture? What does it involve even in our political system? And that circles back to what you and I, when we first met, that was at more of a political meeting and trying to understand that, okay, how does God fit in politics? And we know, and from our other conversations that we've seen, as that growth happens and that understanding and growth that you've been having, is that what's happened to the churches?
So yes.
Why don't you talk about that for a minute? And then we're going to carry some of that over, because you got a great ministry too. We'll talk about in the second segment and all of that. So give me kind of a minute here on how that gospel transcendence has kind of disappeared out of the churches when it comes to culture and government.
Well, I basically sum it up like this in one sentence. The church is theologically bankrupt.
Wow.
That's there's powerful. Just nothing there.
Yeah.
And the more I understand about the gospel, the more I come to realize that we're in some sad shape.
Yeah.
And when you don't even understand the basics,
mm-hmm.
we have some serious problems.
Right.
There's no money in the bank now.
Yeah.
We're bankrupt.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have a lot of work to do.
We do. Yeah. That's really interesting. Just go ahead, keep on going, because when you're talking about being bankrupt, it's like, think the pastors and churches are just kind of like off down the road on something else.
Yeah, we don't really understand. And I think a lot of it, and this goes back to the Enlightenment period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The minute you start to think that man can change something,
mm-hmm.
divorced from God,
right?
You are headed nothing but for trouble. That's it.
Yeah.
You can't, there's no other solution.
Right.
Yeah. And what I tell people, for everything that goes on in this world, whether it be communism, socialism, whatever, the only thing that can combat it is Christianity. There is no other option.
Yeah,
and if we don't recognize that, and we're on the winning team,
mm-hmm.
guess what?
Yeah.
We'll suffer the consequences.
That's right.
I don't want to see it. I'm getting too old to suffer, but I recognize this. You're never too old to get a spanking in God's realm.
Oh, amen to that.
He gives some good ones too.
He does.
I don't want to see it, but unfortunately,
I'm
going to keep fighting to the very end.
Yeah.
And I told my boys, I said, let me tell you something. I said, it's a shame that good men will stand around and do nothing. Mm-hmm. And we've brought a generation of children up. And if we allow this to happen and the children see the consequences of our actions, I said, that to me is just ungodly to think of.
Yeah. And those are some of the things that Sam Adams always talked about as well in his writings, is, you know, how do we deliver to posterity the truths of our freedoms, of our liberties, and they all have to start from our Christian perspective. And we're going to carry on some more of that as we get into the second segment. But he was just always would wrap that up in that same manner, is that, oh my goodness, you know, what an embarrassment we would be you know, to those future generations. And, you know, that's something that the anti-federalist wrote about as well in so many different ways. So, folks, come on back for the next segment to join myself and my good friend Leonard. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this second segment of Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they absolutely did. And today, again, we have my guest, Leonard Gilbert, here with us. But, Leonard, let me tell you. Okay, you're going to say something. I jumped in there.
No, you go right ahead. Now you got me excited.
Yeah, so we're all excited from it. Okay. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I just have to say, you know, again, with Liberty Works Radio Network, it's all about Liberty working for you, and that there's all those great guests, you know, and hosts and hostesses and the live programming during the regular portions of the week. And one thing I just want to remind you of is that, you know what? Go find it on that page at LibertyWorksRadioNetwork.com. Find that button that says donate, because this is a listener-funded network. It's all about you. So, folks, you know, find that button and jump on it and, you know, do whatever you can. It's a ministry that has just been wonderful to me and the Samuel Adams Returns program. Leonard, I'm glad you are excited. You like the way I cut away on that one?
Oh, yes, definitely. You've done this before, I can tell.
Yeah, your enthusiasm on this whole thing, because, you know, when we finished up and talking about, you know, how important that is right around the church and what's going on there and the bankruptcy of the church, but you got some things that you're doing. And your heart, because when we talked about different stuff, your heart is really towards the youth, because if we don't have that next generation understanding the truth, the bankruptcy is going to even go further. The banks will be closed.
It will close, and I don't want to see that happen.
Right. So, what is it that you want to give me a little bit on? What is it you're doing with the youth?
What I do, especially when I have an opportunity in the church, is I will actually take the gospel, but I will use the gospel as a platform to show them that the very idea of politics is rooted to the gospel. You cannot separate them.
That's right.
So when a man tells you, Linda, you have to leave your religion at home, I'll look at him and say, that is the biggest lie you've ever told in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do it.
That's right.
It'll be like telling me, okay, well, if I learn not to steal in the church, I shouldn't be doing it in government.
Mm-hmm.
If I learn not to lie, but it's okay to do it in government. See, you can't do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So what I try to do is that I've come to understand one thing. This life is not for me. It is not. Now, this is going to sound crazy, but I'm living for the next generation.
Yeah.
I'm not living for myself.
Yeah.
I know where I'm headed.
Yeah.
So the icing on the cake for me is God has given me the opportunity
mm-hmm.
while I'm on here on this earth, and I can use my information to pass it on. And then I know I'm waiting for my Lord and Savior in the next realm. So I have nothing but excitement.
Yeah.
So I don't want to squander this opportunity.
Right.
So when I do, I'll take our basic Constitution classes,
mm-hmm.
put them together. But the beautiful thing about it, every time I reference some type of law, I'll tie it to Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you can't do that, then where's the application part?
Right. Exactly.
So we talk about the idea of good government, what that means.
Mm-hmm.
I also tell them, I say, here's why I'm encouraging you young people to get involved. Mm-hmm. I say, I don't know who in this room right here could be the next senator or the state rep. I don't know that.
Right.
God didn't give me that vision.
Right.
But he gave me the tools to help people get there.
Yes.
So I said, if you don't understand now, you're going to get hit with a brick wall and you won't know how to respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of my biggest passions. The youth recognizing that I'm not living for myself. Hopefully they will understand. They will transfer it to their children, And the gospel continues to grow and expand.
Yes.
I don't see the gospel as diminishing.
Mm.
I see it as God reversing sin day by day, by day. And just when I think everything's falling apart, you send this email to give me a little reminder. Don't forget, brother, there's someone out there with you. You're not on an island by yourself. Yeah. So that's why I get encouraged to keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. So, you know, you're reiterating something that I told my grandson that's here with us now, as well as on the program last week. I don't do this program for, you know, the popularity of a gazillion people. I do this program for my grandkids to be able to watch it and have a record of truth.
Yes.
And that they can then, do the same thing, is hopefully it can go to their children and their children's yes. children, because the digital stuff doesn't go away.
That's right.
And that to me is the real critical element mm-hmm. of what we're doing.
Yep.
And taking in that, and it just kicked around in my head when you were talking about you can't separate, you know, God and politics yep. and all of that, because I love this whole thing that, so when Jesus was like chastising yeah. On those, you know, religious leaders, what was he really chastising right along parallel at the yeah. same time?
Mm-hmm.
Those yep. political leaders.
That's right. Because
what was the Sanhedrin made up of?
Yeah, you got it.
That's yeah, it. So, you know, when pastors tell me, well, Jesus didn't take and talk to any, you know, religious, and he was, I'm going,
yeah,
what don't you understand about how Judaism yeah. was designed and worked? I mean, yeah. it just, you know, it's mind-boggling.
Don't know what he's reading.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like I say, it's very clear to me.
Yeah.
One thing we do miss, though, in this whole argument is that we start to separate the Old Testament from the New Testament. Right. And let me tell you something, you can't do that.
Right.
Because here's the problem. That foundation from the Old Testament is pointing toward the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law.
Right.
He said, I came to establish it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So when you tell people that, you know, he's talking about a different law, and I say, okay, wait a minute. Hmm. I said, did he throw the Ten Commandments out? I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
I said, some of the very laws that we're living by, you ask any good lawyer,
mm-hmm.
they used to study the Old Testament.
Yep.
There were maybe 400 plus case laws that they used
mm-hmm.
as a basis
yeah.
for their criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've lost that, but right. some of the ones that I know, some of the old school guys that I talked to,
yeah.
they say, trust me, Leonard, we knew the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Catholic, Protestant, what, all of them, they going in that field, they knew the Old Testament.
Yeah, had to. Yeah, because, yeah, I'm with you.
And so now that's been lost. So now when I start bringing that up, they say, well, Leonard, you know, you keep going back to the Old Testament. I'm like, yeah, that's, remember, I think it started in Genesis. And then it kept going. So I always start with the first book, right?
Right.
That's the logical place to start. But
right.
you guys are jumping to Revelation and talking about here's signs and stuff like that. Say, so, no, don't back it up. Start from the beginning. Because
mm-hmm.
if you don't get the first chapter,
yeah,
you're going to run into some serious problems.
Right, right.
And that's where they stumble.
Yeah. And that, you know, goes to that other point when you're taking and you're talking to the youth and all of that is that, okay, you know, Jesus, you know, he came, he died for our sins. I think you talked about it a little bit in the first segment as well. You know, he rose again, but a lot of people forget about this thing. Where'd he go? He went to yeah. the right hand of the Father. And what did it say? He's what? He's what? He's the king over heaven and earth. So
we miss
like,
that, don't we?
Oh, big time, man. It's like, you know, people forget there is a kingdom.
Yes.
And this goes into that whole argument. Oh, well, Leonard, do you expect that we're to have the kingdom on earth?
Yes.
Excuse me, folks, if you don't get this yet, the kingdom, the king is already reigning.
Yeah.
He's already stomped on the head of the
yes.
devil. That was his purpose.
Yes.
It was predicted right at the
yes.
beginning. I mean, you know, and so then church, when you're going to wake up,
yes.
when you're going to be what you need to be and govern according to
yes.
God's design.
Now, I'm going to make a bold statement here. This is going to upset a lot of people. But
I don't know. Am I going to have to turn off your mic?
No, you won't. In my assessment, using the book of Acts, there's an outline for the true making of a church.
Yeah.
My contention is that if you don't fit that criteria, you don't deserve to call yourself a church.
Ooh.
And don't you dare come to me telling me that you are a church.
Yeah.
Now, if I use that criteria, I can tell you something right now, brother. We'd be knocking a lot off the list right now.
I hear you.
Knock them off.
Yep. Yep.
They don't want to hear me say that.
Well.
But it's the truth.
Yeah. Well, that's why we keep getting thrown out. You know, they keep her. But you know, she always says, you know, are you gonna, how can you keep your mouth shut for 5 minutes so at least we can hear the beginning of the sermon?
I mean it's sad, but I try to tell people, look, this is nothing to play with.
No.
We have a very serious responsibility. God has given us a very serious dominion task.
Oh. Whoa. Where's that dominion thing coming from? Give me that dominion thing.
That makes people nervous, too.
Are you talking about this covenant and dominion stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, so they don't like to hear me say that. They get people get nervous.
Oh. Oh my.
And I tell people, you know, they come up to me and they said, Leonard, they said, dominion, that's such a strong word. Yeah, it is. Mm. But I know my Lord and Savior uses strong words too.
Yeah.
And he gave them to me. And yeah. I think I have the privilege to use them.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you guys are concerned about.
Yeah. So when you think about that, we're in the last 5 minutes of this segment already. Doesn't time go by fast?
Yeah, when you're having fun. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
So give that, you know, snippet like you do, you know, really good at on dominion and covenant. We'll pick that up some more when we jump into the next segment. But
well, when I think about the dominion aspect of Christ, okay, he owns everything.
Mm.
We are his children.
Yeah.
Okay. When he owns everything, that means I'm a part of his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
I have a responsibility to take care of what he's left us.
Yeah.
He said that will be done on earth as he prayed as it in heaven.
Okay. Right.
Now, he said the poor will inherit the earth. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, so I'm sitting there thinking, boy, that means that's pretty responsible if he's saying that all this is going to happen for the earth. He's praying that for the earth.
Yeah.
So that tells me that we have a responsibility.
Yeah.
Dominion means we just don't give this up.
Right.
This is how we treat our Lord and Savior, just by the things he's given us. We just walk away from it and say, well, you know, maybe we should just suffer. That could be a calling for Christ. We're called to suffer. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, think about what you're saying. The Puritans had a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Let's even go to the Mayflower Compact and look at just take a look at that one time. You might be surprised at the content.
Yeah.
They had a vision.
Yes.
They had a dominion vision. And they came out with the idea that if we go in honoring God, doing what he has called us to do, there will be blessings associated with it.
Yes.
And guess what? There were blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And we are reaping the benefits of those blessings right now.
Yes.
And you're telling me we just going to throw that in the trash can?
Mm.
You need to be kicked, you know where.
Yeah.
My mama would not allow that.
Yeah, I hear you.
She said, you have a responsibility, you own up to it.
Yeah.
That's why we couldn't buy, she didn't buy into racism.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you know, I didn't raise wimps.
Mm.
She said, you deal with it and you go on.
Yeah.
She said, so don't come to me telling me that's an excuse.
Right.
Because she said, trust me, my experience was far worse than yours.
I'm sure.
So you don't tell me about racism. You know, I said, she said, grow something and get out of here.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, well, mama was right.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my little idea of dominion. Does it mean we're going to have a perfect world? No. But I can tell you this. The Puritans, they didn't have a mass full of people that were believers. But look at the small impact that the small portion that they had and the larger scale impact they had because they were being obedient to what they were called.
That's
even
right.
Non-believers.
Oh, yeah. They benefit.
Everybody.
Yeah. Well, that's, geez, you know, I think I read that in scriptures all the time that, you know, because of the righteous, the unrighteous will benefit, you know.
Yes.
And sadly, though, is that the righteous get that kind of bass ackwards.
Yes.
In that, you know, they sit there and they go, oh, but we're not being blessed because all the evil people are in control and all of that. Well, yeah, that's exactly why you're not getting blessed, because the evil people are in control of it and you're not. You've given up, you know. You just, oh my. So it's like all of that type of stuff, trying to get people to understand that. And, you know, those are some of the things, folks, that as we're talking, and we'll really jump more in the next segment, talking about the Puritans, as we mentioned before, Sam Adams was a Puritan. We saw that change that was happening even inside of Harvard, because the Unitarians started getting crazy in things in that early to mid 1700s. It was like 1771, 1772, that right outside of Harvard, boom, there was a Unitarian church. So people always look back and say, well, you know, all of those other preachers there, those were all the Unitarians that were all around Boston and all of that. Yeah, they weren't the Unitarians like today, they were giving it up already. They were already giving up to humanism instead of staying from that whole perspective as the Puritans did in that thought process, in that vision, and understanding exactly what you were saying earlier, that Jesus is king. He is king right now, right today, and it's about kingdom and understanding that.
Mm-hmm.
And We have the ability within our constitutional framework, which we'll definitely jump into because I want to pick up more on those seminars that you do.
Mm-hmm.
We have that ability in that framework to be the believers that have that dominion mm-hmm. within the context of government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had that and we gave it up. And it was predicted by none other than Sam Adams there and those go. Anti-Federalists. Yeah. They did.
There they go again.
You know, folks, you just have to keep going back to those truths and understanding and come on back with us in the last segment. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this third segment of Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they did get it right. And this is Tom Navolis, your host. And my good friend, Leonard Gilbert, is here with me today. And you know what? Hey, all you screaming eagles out there, I sure do want to welcome you back. You know, Dr. Mike Spaulding and Kathy, you guys are doing a fabulous job out there at WTTP 101.1 FM in Lima, Ohio. And you know what? As I will in this segment, real quick, is the promo for what? July 24th and the Go Therefore conference that's coming up. And it's all online this year, folks. So go ahead and go to the gothereconference.com and get registered. We're going to just have a great time. I am one of the speakers there. And I'm telling you, the great lineup of folks. Watch the video promo at the end of the program there on YouTube and listen to the audio version of it on the podcast, and you'll get a good splash for what's happening coming up on July 24th. And let's follow up a little bit more here as you gulp down that water. So I'll just keep babbling.
I'm ready.
Man, you are ready.
Yeah.
So when we look at all of the stuff that we were talking about, and we kind of went through that whole thing about the bankrupt church, and we talked about the ministry to the youth, what are the seminars that you are giving? What is it that brought you to do that? Because that all talks about God and government, yes, and law and all of that. I mean, it's like good, yes, stuff.
Well, I'll be honest with you. See, when I used to read the Constitution, I didn't look at it in the right light. But when you look at it from a Christian perspective, it looks totally different.
Oh, yes.
Now, I asked the question, as far as seminars, I'll do them at any church that wants it. I do a lot of presentations at a lot mm-hmm. of the political clubs. You've seen a lot of those. So anywhere I can go to spread the gospel, because people think I'm doing the politics. No, I'm spreading the gospel.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because everywhere I go, I'm talking about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am very thankful to have this opportunity, and I continue to show how thankful I am. But what's interesting about the Constitution, what I do is I will take the 10 tenets of Marxism and communism.
Uh-huh.
But I won't tell them where I got it from.
Yeah.
Then I'll take the Ten Commandments and I'll say, okay, you know the Ten Commandments. So then I will read something from the Communist Manifesto. And I say, what do you guys think about that? Oh, that's a pretty good idea. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Then we talk about the property tax and they say, yeah, okay. Then we talk about education. You mm-hmm. just think public education has to be the way to go.
Yeah.
And then I'll go over to the Ten Commandments and I say, you know, that runs contrary to the Ten Commandments.
Well, what are you reading?
I said, that was the Communist Manifesto. Really?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Because we've been so brainwashed in our educational system.
Right.
I was a part of it. And I was accepting these things like they were normal. Mm-hmm. But then when you look at God's word, you go, ooh, something's not right here.
Yeah.
So with the Constitution, what I try to do is tell people, you have to read it from a Christian perspective. Now, does that mean everybody that was involved in the Constitution were Christian? No, but they had a fundamental understanding of what was needed for the foundation of the country.
Yes.
The First Amendment, I try to tell people this, is not just for you to be a babbling idiot.
Right.
Yeah. That First Amendment holds water for one thing. People don't realize this, but that was exclusively written just so the church can get the gospel out.
Right.
They didn't want to restrain the gospel, because if you restrain the gospel, you're gonna hurt society.
Yep.
So the more they can get out of the way, let the gospel get out into society, it can transform the world.
That's right. Yeah.
But the more and more you have sin, the more law and control you're gonna need.
Right.
So people don't realize there's a connection between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Good citizen, good self-government, less government control.
Yeah.
Bad citizens. My mom said, the more you have a bad behavior, the more spankings you get.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
So when you put it in that terms, now you can understand why the Constitution has grown in such a proportion that we're not even remotely understanding the words anymore.
Right.
And that Constitution now, unfortunately, will take on the culture of that generation.
Mm-hmm.
So every time a generation changes, it'll take on another meaning.
Yes.
And it keeps changing. So my mission is to make sure that when I'm educating young and old, tell your children's children this. Tell your grandparents. Tell anybody this. Because you're going to have to realize that when you leave this good earth, I call it good because God said it was good. All right? Mm-hmm. Now, we may have deformed it and everything else, but it's still good.
Yeah.
All right? I tell them, I say, your children are going to witness what we've done.
Yes. That's right.
And don't, if you don't believe me, look at the Old Testament and look at the old generation. Oh. They suffered and they all suffered and they suffered.
Yep.
And then, believe it or not, they even saw the devastation coming. That's what God did. Let me show you what you did.
Yeah.
And those were his own people.
Right.
So I'm looking at that as a very good example to use. I'm thinking, I don't want to do what they did.
Right.
That's not smart.
Yep.
But yet we push it to the side and look at you doing that Old Testament thinking. No, he gave us a model to use.
Right.
Just like when they say, well, Leonard, what about it? This is an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You don't want to do that. I said, no. You're taking it out of context. You use the principle of general equity. All he's saying is that the punishment fits the crime.
Yep.
So that's where your laws come. That's how the basis of your law. Oh, we don't look at it that way. I said, that's what I'm saying. Christianity is a thinking man's religion.
Really?
It's not. You know, one of my pastors told me once. When I was growing up from the baby stage, he said, when he looked at me right in the face, he said, let me tell you something, Christianity is not for chumps.
You got that right.
I said,
Well, you have to think. Well, to your whole point, to really understand it, it's not just reading the words, being able to regurgitate them. What are all of those applications throughout? And why is it that knuckleheads keep making those same errors when it's as plain as the nose on our faces?
Yes.
And, you know, it goes back to what your grandma said, right? You sinful there, boy. Yeah. You know, give me a break. My folks weren't that specific necessarily, but, you know, I kept feeling that swat for some reason. You know, I can't tell you how many fly swatters my mom broke on me. Yeah. Then she shifted over to wooden spoons.
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, the best summary I heard about sin, did you love this? My grandma used to tell me, you know what, let me tell you something. Sin will make you stupid.
Wow. Yeah.
She said, that's what you're seeing.
Yeah. Oh, look at what's going on in society right now. And I said, people aren't acting very smart, are they?
No. And I said, you know, that's a very good way. Now, keep in mind, they didn't know anything about Calvin. They didn't hear that in their church.
Right.
But they had a very good understanding of biblical principles.
Yeah.
And then check this out. Even some of my parents and their relatives, they were not hardcore Christians. Mm-hmm. They didn't go to church all the time.
Yeah.
But the church has such an impact on society. They were using the same biblical principles to rear us, and we reap the benefits of those biblical principles.
Okay, so there was something that we were talking about at the break that is going to take us down that path. So what we're seeing is that, you know, a denomination, if you want to call it that, the Catholic Church in particular, has taken in, I mean, there's so much from that leadership, and we're seeing the perversions in that. I mean, the Pope has gone off his rocker.
Oh, yes.
But then, you know, one of my diatribes, she hears it from me all the time, and I'm pointing at Kath, folks, for you guys that, where's he pointing again? You know, hey, you know, got to pay attention to the director there. But, you know, the Protestant churches have just walked away. That goes to that bankrupt theology that you talked about, you know, in the last segment and that. But we don't produce, the Protestant churches aren't producing leaders anymore. No. Not even for their families, let alone for government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, Leonard, help me with that. What's up with that, man?
Well, see, you know, it's interesting. And don't get me wrong. I love my church dearly. I love my people dearly. But here's what's interesting. I can tell you right now, if I were to cross the line on our Constitution, they'd have me in that office so fast like you wouldn't believe.
On your church constitution. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait
a minute. The church has a constitution? Yeah. What about where's that constitution at?
Now let me tell you something. Now my question to them would be this. Well, do you know the Ohio State Constitution?
There you go. Right.
All I gotta do is stump my toe in. Didn't Dr. I, and I'm in the office.
Yeah.
Which I like being held accountable.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
I'm thankful for accountability.
Yes. Yes.
But my goodness, let's take it a step further.
Yes.
I look at the Ohio State Constitution and I look at our Constitution. And I say, I wonder where the Ohio State Constitution got all this stuff from. It looks just similar to what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, now, I wonder how they came up with that notion. Did they just think it of themselves? No, I think somebody infused that from the church. It, the pattern looks so similar. You say, ooh, how did they do that?
Right.
It was intended to be that way.
Right.
Because there's a checks and balances in the church. There's checks and balances in the family. There's checks and balances in government.
Right.
If you don't have that, then you got tyranny on your hand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's not that complicated. It really isn't.
Yeah. So now instead, now we've got people that are running around setting up new countries in Seattle.
Yes.
And now, you know, they're broadcasting in advance when they're going to tear down a statue.
Mm-hmm.
And so that history, that anarchy, all of that is, there's no boundaries.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there's no adherence. And so what we have is they're going back to that Communist Manifesto and 100% ignoring anything about fundamental constitutionalism, whether it's the church constitution, state constitution, or even, you know, a city charter.
Yeah. And I tell people, they think I'm crazy. They say, look, your church has a constitution.
I know you are. You're like me.
It's like, see, I tell people, it's like we have, the constitutions are natural things because man needs order.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, it goes back to the whole principle of what is wrong with us.
Yeah.
We're bad to the core.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that I can be the baddest person I can be, but I'm telling you, I'm fallible.
Yep.
So don't ever say what you won't ever do.
Yeah.
Because the minute you say that, you do it.
Do it. Yeah.
So you always have somebody checking you. This is a beautiful thing because it keeps you out of trouble. It keeps them out of trouble. And that's a beautiful thing because God designed it that way.
Yeah. 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 So what was it that, you know, and help me with the quote because it's slipping me at the moment is that, you know, it's the gray hairs that keep showing up.
I know that feeling. Okay. I know that.
You know, Madison said something about, you know, we wouldn't need a constitution if men were angels.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and then, you know, the angels wouldn't need to do what they do if, you know, all this other. So, you know, you take and you look at that. That's exactly how God designed the whole universe.
Yes.
Whether it was angelic or whether it's mankind, is that we have to have those parameters. And to the point, geez, I wonder why the flood showed up.
Yeah.
You know, people were so out of kilter that, you know, it's like, all right, I'm done with these creatures. You know, we'll do a reset, you know, here with Noah and family. So, yeah, I mean, it's always amazing to that. So what's the applications in our last couple of minutes? Let's go ahead and talk about, folks, what you need to be doing, church, what you need to be doing. Yeah. What should happen out there that people can grab a hold of and apply to their lives right now?
Well, first of all, we're going to have to start educating ourselves, okay? Now, the first thing you got to do is got to stay off the internet.
Yeah.
That's bad. Just turn the thing off. Don't watch the media all the time because that's the wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
Talk to your neighbors that are involved.
Okay.
Talk to your neighbors that know the playing field. You'll be amazed that there's only a few of them, but that one person can impact 10 people.
True.
So, but you got to talk.
Yeah.
Don't believe in this separation between your what your beliefs are and what your government structure. There is no separation.
Yeah.
Anyone that tells me there's separation, I call them a liar because tell me how you can do it. So I tell people the first thing is to start basically with education. But I'm going to tell you something else that's a little bit interesting. This is going to go a little bit beyond what people are thinking, because what happens to us, we think big.
Hmm.
We think national. We think congressional. But my contention is the local level is where you gain control first.
Yes.
This is your first boundary against tyranny from external forces.
Yeah.
We think just because we're living in our own backyards, there's no corruption here.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, we say, that's the president. Everybody, I guarantee you, a lot of people can talk about the president, but they can't tell you what's going on in their backyard.
Right.
They don't know.
Absolutely.
But they'll show up for every election and say, oh, and this is the most important election of all time. You know, I've been hearing that since day one.
Right.
And I'm still living here, still got to go to work.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, start with your local people first. Start asking questions. Get involved with your neighbors. Don't close yourself up. Go out, even though they're telling you not to go out. Go out. Sunshine and fresh air are good for your immune system.
That's right.
I don't care what people tell you.
No, I'm with you.
It's another God thing. You know what I mean? He designed that.
Yeah.
So don't make it hard. Make it easy.
Make it easy. And that's what Sam Adams always said. He said, all government starts local. And that's the truth of it, folks. We're just delighted, Leonard, that you were here. Thank you so much.
No problem.
I appreciate it, brother. Come on back next week.
We'll do it.